Yeah, unless we need
Okay.
to make for that. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, perfect. All right, we're going to go ahead and call to order the Jepson Canyon Public Infrastructure District. To order, we have a quorum of the board. Today is December 10th. It's 11:03. I'm Michael Jensen with Snow Jensen and Reese. So for our call to order, if everyone on the call could give your name for the recording and the record. So let's start with the board. David, you want to start?
David Calder with the Jepson Canyon Project.
Kent Olson, also Jepson Canyon.
David Hutchison with CLA.
And we have Christy Barker back at our anchor location. So, Christy, is there anyone there from the public?
No.
Okay. And that is everyone that I show on the call. So, first item up board is our public hearing for the 2025 budget. Can I get a motion to open the public hearing?
I'll make a motion to open the public hearing for the 25 budget.
Thanks, David.
Second that.
Thanks, Kent. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, now we're in the public hearing. So I'm going to have David Hutchison go through it from CLA so he can walk through the budget, and then we'll see if there's any public to make any comments. So, David?
Okay, thanks, Michael. So for Jepson Canyon, this is pretty much the same as what we had gone through in the tentative budget with the few amendments that we had made, or as discussed. What we had done is we had some developer advance originally budgeted here, and we moved that from to a transfer from the other fund, from capital projects. And so for 2025, that we still have developer advance in here to cover this. And then yeah, to cover accounting or accounting, auditing, insurance, legal, and there's no contingency this year. And I would transfer out to the other fund to cover the paying agent fees and the debt service fund. So here's the transfer in from general fund to cover that paying agent fees. We have property taxes 86.43 estimated, interest income 32,500, and debt service payments for interest. I don't know if there's any specific questions you guys had or wanted to cover or go look at. Like I said, the only change we really made was as was what we discussed in the 2024 estimated of moving some out of capital outlay to transfers to other funds to cover those admin costs for the current year.
No questions for me.
Okay.
No questions for me.
Okay, I'll turn it back to you, Michael.
Okay. I do not show any members of the public. So let's, Christy, just double check again. No members from the public at the anchor location.
No.
Okay. Could I get a motion to close the public hearing, board?
I move that we close the public hearing.
Thanks, Kent.
I'll second that.
Thanks, David. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, that's unanimous. All right, let's go back to. So, next up is the minutes from our last board meeting held November 20th. Board, have you had a chance to review those? Do they look accurate to you?
Yes, I have, and they look just fine.
Yes.
Okay. Can I get a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes from the last meeting.
Thanks, David.
I second that.
Thanks, Kent. All those in favor say aye.
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 And that is unanimous. All right, next. So I just put up the budget resolution. So in Utah, this is how we have to adopt the budgets. So basically just says we're going to adopt it and then also keep the mill levy at the 9 mills that we have had. So if I could get a motion to approve the budget resolution adopting the 2025 budget, that would be great.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the 2025 budget resolution.
Thank you, David.
I'll second that.
Thanks, Kent. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, that is unanimous.
And I'll notify you. Will you be sending that to Hank for signature, like EDOC?
I can send it to the vice chair. Kent, you're the vice chair, so I can send it to you, or I can send it to Hank, and then David is the clerk. You're going to be the attest.
Okay.
So do you want me to send it to Hank or do you want me to send it to Kent?
What do you prefer, Kent? I just trying
I mean,
to
I don't
clarify.
Mind, I don't mind signing it, but if it's okay for Hank to sign it, even though he's not present for the meeting, that'd probably be best just to make sure we keep him in the loop.
Okay. I'll send it to him. Yeah. He, as the chair, can still sign. So it doesn't matter if he's here or not. So
okay. That was my only question.
Yep. All right, so what I need then is let's pull out the, I'll stop sharing. Pull out your calendars for me. And let's look at what days of the week, and then I guess the week of the month work for you guys to have the board meetings. So we're going to need them 5 a year. So the first one will be the end of February to say the last week of February, first couple weeks of March. Then we'll do the same in July to August. Then we'll do October to November, then have a November and then a December meeting.
I'm pretty free. I have a really flexible schedule. So, I mean, really, Kent, whatever you decide works for you, I'll make it happen.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a day of the week that, and at this point, I don't have a lot on my calendar that far ahead. So I think if we pick something, I can work around it.
I want to say this last year, we did Tuesdays at 10. I don't know if that works for you guys.
I like that. Yeah, that's great.
All right. So we did it the second Tuesday of the month. Does that work?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Then we'll go ahead and do those for the second Tuesday at 10 o'clock. And
that's
Christy
perfect.
Will send out meeting invites for those.
So the first meeting would be in
March.
March. I was going to say March. Okay.
And that would be to cover the year end 24.
Okay. So that would be the second weekend. That'd be the 11th.
Yeah.
Okay. So we can note down. That works great for me.
Okay. So for you guys, we might only have four meetings then. Because we can do the third quarter at the same time as we do the tentative budget in November.
That's perfect.
That's fine. Yep.
Okay. All right. We'll get that sent out. So Matt's here. So let's go back on the agenda we had listed that we were going to cover, or we didn't have it listed, but what we needed to cover were those management agreements. So Matt, I'm going to turn the time over to you to have the discussion.
Sounds good. Thanks, Michael. I just thought this was a worthwhile discussion just because it's been some time since those management agreements were originally approved. And Hank has sent me some emails recently about maybe trying to modify how the payments are made and who they're made to. And then he kind of reversed course on that and said, no, we just want to keep doing it the same. And I just thought, you know what, let's just put this on or make this part of a discussion with the board, obviously not for any formal action today. So I'm, you know, mostly interested in feedback, questions, you know, and discussion about this. So just for context, I think you guys, of course, are aware there's two management agreements currently, one with David and one with Hank. And those agreements provide that in return for project management services, aside from your service on the board, and that qualification is important, aside from your services on the board, there would be a management fee paid of $2,000 a month. And we've been doing that. It's been, I think, maybe a little bit irregular at times. David, you would know better than anyone if every month or not, but those agreements are still in place. And so we can look at the agreements, but I thought it might be worthwhile just to look at specifically the language of the bond indentures that talks about what we can spend the project fund on, because that's essentially what's paying for these fees. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen here. So hopefully everybody can see that. This is this section that talks about project costs in the indentures. And project costs encompass all of these things. It's pretty broad. There's the obvious things like costs of labor and materials, the things like surveys, engineering plans, designs, things like that. Cost of posting documents, cost of reserves and contingencies, costs of issuance of the bonds, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the one that we use to justify the management agreements and the payment of the management fees was this just general administrative and general overhead costs. And so, the idea being that the management services provided were associated with the development of the public infrastructure, and that it was justified because it was part of the administrative and overhead costs of providing that public infrastructure. One of the reasons that I think this is worth reevaluating is obviously the project is in sort of a different state now than when we originally put the agreements in place. At that time we were looking forward to a lot of public improvements going in the very near future. Some of that work got done, some of it didn't. And now, the state of the project is such that unless something's changed recently, my understanding is Hank is looking to potentially sell the property to a new developer who will step in and basically take over, whether that's developing the same project or a modified project based on discussions with the city. But we're not necessarily, we're not necessarily in a construction and development phase currently. So I don't want to, I don't want to make any judgments here. I don't want to, I don't want to tell the board, what's necessarily the right and the wrong thing to do on this. I do think it's a little bit tougher to justify the payment of those management fees now, but I also recognize that all of you, David and Hank, and you also Kent, are spending a ton of time on trying to find a way to make the project viable, potentially through a sale of the property, potentially through an amendment to the development agreement. And those things ultimately will have to be done before the public improvements need to be made. So I think there's an argument to be made that there's still a connection that we can still justify this, but I do think it's a little bit more remote than it was previously. So that's kind of where I'm at on this. And I would just wanted to put that out to you guys. Ultimately it's your decision as to how you want to handle this, but those have just been some of my recent thoughts.
Yeah, but I think that makes a lot of sense, Matt. I see where you're coming with that. One thing I would maybe say, and I mean, I don't have a lot of skin in this game, but part of the sale process, in order to get there, is completing this amendment of the development agreement, negotiations with the town. We just had a meeting last week with our with Brandt Northern Engineering to do a new site plan for the project. So there's still some, I guess you could kind of call it development activity going on.
Okay.
And right now we are actually just starting to negotiate a purchase agreement with the buyer, but we're not even at the term sheet stage yet. We're just kind of getting basic terms kind of hammered out. And one of those terms is exactly how do we move forward with getting these approvals with the town, and whether, we take the lead and continue as we are getting those approvals, or if we kind of, cooperate and get it done together, or turn it over to the buyer side to get it done. But I think while we're still figuring that out, it probably makes some sense to, David and Hank are definitely still involved in what I would consider development activity. So that would be my thought, at least initially, is to keep it going, and then maybe when we get final terms set up with our buyer, we maybe reevaluate at that point.
Okay. I think those are great points. Particularly like you pointed out, development activity definitely includes, working with the town on development and development approvals and entitlements. And so, that
And engineering.
and the work on engineering that's continuing too. So those are
Yeah.
great points. I think those are things that help to justify the continuation. And that's frankly, that's why I wanted to have this discussion, so that if anybody, at some point in the future said, "How did you justify this?" We've made a record of it, right?
Right.
So, and I think that's
Well,
for not just for the PIDs protection, but for you as board members. So.
for sure.
Yeah, and you know as well as I do, Matt, just with the turnover and administration up there, it's we've had to just make adjustments based on their new ordinances and changes in policies. And so, things are going great and we have no control over what the town's doing. So now we're working hard to just redo everything, and do new engineering, all of that, and it's a lot of work.
I totally understand that. So let me just clarify again. I've kind of gotten some mixed signals from Hank over the last couple of weeks with some emails and things. Is your understanding, as a board, is your understanding that the agreements need to just remain as they are for now and continue to be paid as already established?
Yeah, I think that's the latest from Hank. There was a little bit of discussion back and forth between he and David, but we had a meeting kind of towards the end of last week that we were all at, and that's what my understanding is from Hank, is continue with the status quo.
Yeah, agreed.
Michael, David, I'm open to any thoughts you guys might have on this too. Anything we can get on the record is valuable. So, and if you don't, that's fine too, but just wanted to make sure you welcome your
Oh,
input.
I agree. And I think having it on the record, like you said, is important, but I think we can justify it based on the discussions. So.
That makes sense to me also.
Well, we may have some final terms and the contract underway come next board meeting. It could happen that fast. So, and I think that would be a good time to reevaluate it, like Kent said.
Okay, well, I'm satisfied with that. I think this was a positive thing, just to, like I said, just make a record that, the board is clearly aware of this, that the justifications are clear to us, and I'm satisfied with that. So we
Okay.
don't take any formal action, but I appreciate the input, and like we said, it's on the record now. So if there's ever a question, come
Okay.
back.
And
Okay.
Christy
Go
and
ahead.
I will make note of that in the minutes, so it's pretty laid out. So
Okay. Perfect.
okay,
And
okay.
I'll notify Hank since he's not here. I'll give him a call when we're done. And I'll just kind of give him an update on this.
Okay, and I would assume that the payments need to be made for December, right, David?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, we'll work with Christy on making sure that those requisitions get done for this month.
Thank you.
Okay, that's all I had, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you so
We Thanks.
much.
So we have one more item, board, and that's to do our open and public meetings training that will
Okay.
count for 2025. So only take me just a couple minutes. We'll get through it. So first off, we have to conduct all of the board meetings in an open and public fashion that's required by the Open and Public Meetings Act. So we have to have a quorum, so we need at least two of the three board members. We have to post on the posting, we have to publish on the public notice website that we have to put time, place, date, and then the agenda also has to have some specificity. So we just can't put, we'll take today's agenda. We just can't list a resolution and just leave it like that. We have to say it's the budget resolution. So if that makes sense, there has to be some level of specificity. So we can do electronic meetings. The district has an electronic meetings policy. That's how we're able to do these. So we have to post the link, and that's always on the agenda, and the notice is the link so that the public can participate if they want to. They don't have to go to the physical anchor location. We do have to have an anchor location. That way, if somebody needed any special hearing devices or they needed to be able to read the agenda and all of those things, we can provide that for them. And all that's covered in the electronic meetings policy. We have to keep minutes, so we record all of the meetings that's required. So within 3 days after the meeting, we have to put that on the public notice website so that somebody could go listen to the meeting within those 3 days. But the official minutes are the written minutes that you approve at the next board meeting. Technically, they don't have to be the next board meeting. It's just when we approve them, then they become the official board minutes. And then once they're approved, we have 3 days to get those on. Now, we need those to get signed, obviously, and then we have the 3 days to get them on. So there could be a chance we could go into closed session. So closed sessions are very limited in Utah. We could go into close for things if the district were to ever buy property or get an appraisal for something inside of the district. We could go into close to talk about the price. That way, somebody out there can't outbid us, or they know, what we're going after, those kinds of things. If there's any commercial things going on. Let's say the district, we were going to talk about development issues with the development company. We could go into closed session for that so that we don't give out any commercial information. We don't talk about strategy, those kinds of things dealing with the development business side. Let's see. If we have the fraud risk assessment and fraud risk hotline, if you remember in the policies. So let's say some member of the public thinks there's something going on inside of the district. If there were any investigations, we could close for those. If we were to talk about character, competency, health of one of the board members, or if we were to ever have employees, we could go into close to talk about those kinds of things. Any collective bargaining, we don't have employees, but if there were, we could go into closed for that. Any litigation, we can close to talk about strategy. If the district were to provide any security measures, security personnel, cameras, video, whatever, plans, we could go into closed to talk about all of those. Again, any criminal misconduct, those kinds of things. In closed sessions, we would have to record those, and we do have to do written minutes like we do any other meeting, but they all stay in the closed session. So, hypothetically, if we were to do a closed meeting today, our next board meeting, we would have a closed session to review the minutes and to go through those and to approve those in that closed meeting, but they stay closed. The only way a closed meeting can be opened is by a court order. And so that's a really high bar. And to be honest, I've never heard of a closed session being open myself. So we also have to do, like we did previously, the annual meeting schedule. That way we post that on the public notice website as well. That way, let's say I'm looking up the district and I want to see when the next board meeting is so I can participate or I can come make a comment. Then I see when those board meetings are scheduled out so that I can participate. And then I know to look for the agendas and the notice as they come. So that's pretty much it, unless you guys have any questions.
That all makes sense.
Okay. Well, that's all I show on the agenda. Do you guys have anything you want to bring up? Matt, do you have anything else?
Nope. Good to see you
All
guys
right.
as always. Yeah, for
Okay.
sure.
Can I get a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
Thanks, David.
I second that.
Thanks, Kent. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. That's unanimous. Hey, thanks, guys. Good to see you. I will send out the resolution, David, and I'll send it to Hank too. So if you can just tell him to watch for it.
Sure will.
Okay. Thanks, guys.